Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Bill Bellamy.
In the house. I feel like I'm home here. I haven't been home in a while. It's been about a year and a half, huh?
I don't know. It feels like so too long.
It's too long, man. You guys miss me a little bit, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's good, man. We're family, baby.
A little more than a little.
A lot more than. Are you still jack off to him?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Did he stop? Just tell me he stopped out.
He's a beautiful man. That's the whole thing. He's a Nubian warrior. Is what he is. That makes me straighter to masturbate to Bill Bellamy. You know what I mean?
God.
Well, no, you know what I'm saying.
I feel you, man, but no, I don't feel you.
Okay, extra male.
Well, you're gonna
Superman.
You're gonna. Bill is going to be at the Ontario Improv. This Thursday.
Through Sunday.
That's the normal time span. Is it not now? Is it Thursday through Sunday? It seems like most comedians do that.
Because, I mean, it's either Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then you may miss the Thursday people who right after work. So you just do Thursday through Sunday, doing six shows. It should be fun. I haven't performed in California in a long time. I just... about 7-8 weeks ago, was in London, killed over there.
Wow.
Yeah, I had never performed out of the United States before.
Incredible.
So that was fun. I performed in London, did very well. Last weekend, I was at the Hard Rock in Florida.
Where do you, when you go to London, well, how does it work? They know you from movies, right?
Yeah, they know me mostly from movies
from
and
TV.
MTV.
On
and
MTV.
And mostly movies and MTV. And, while I was on MTV, I didn't know how much people were, like, getting, like, you know, the U.S. feed.
Right.
So I get over there, and I'm sort of like, well, you know, are they going to really find me funny over here? And it was just, like, no difference. Huh. It was like being in New York, basically.
Where
people have accents.
Where?
You know, it was like, hi, Bill, how are you today? Cheers.
I know. It's spooky when the black guys have that accent.
I know. It's like, a real tough dude. Like, you see a real tough dude.
Yeah, like Lennox Lewis or something.
He'd be like, cheers, mate. He'd be like, wow, he's not that tough. He's pretty eloquent.
I know.
Isn't it where the Asian guys are freaking out a little bit?
Oh, Asian English?
With speaking like that. Yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
No, I haven't seen it.
What? Do they have that?
Yeah, of course.
I haven't seen that.
Oh.
Like to see that. I didn't think it could get any better than the blacks, but Asians.
Yeah.
There's a new novelty
English
in
Asian.
Town.
It goes down. It goes down in the UK.
I'd like to see that. Find me one of them, would you?
Oh, I'm sure they're
like,
around.
Hello, mate. My name is Wong Lee.
Adam and I have a mutual friend. I have a mutual friend named Mark Young, who's a professor at the business school at USC here in Southern California. And he has a nephew who's Australian.
Asian.
Has a heavy Australian accent.
And he's Asian?
Get him in here.
Chinese, yeah.
Wow.
I can take a look at this kid.
and got the Australian joie de vivre, you know.
Wow.
The whole thing. Got the shrimp and the Barbie, have a beer mentality.
I
got
to bring this kid to work.
That's
with
almost
me.
Like a Chinese Jamaican.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I was in Jamaica and I didn't know they have Chinese Jamaican.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
I thought that was just a kind of chicken.
No.
Isn't that where it's extra tangy?
A little tangy tang.
Yeah.
Nah, it's really real. It's just funny how the world has become so different. You don't know what you're getting these days.
No.
Everybody's mixed with something.
It is. We've all turned into some sort of party mix.
Yeah.
Hit a punch.
It's a nice iPod.
It's a
punch ball.
It's a smorgasbord of music.
You don't know what we're going to get next.
Genetic diversity breeds strength.
It does, right?
Strength.
It does,
I like
because
that, doctor.
Think about how much stronger mutts are, how much stronger mutts are than purebreds.
Yeah.
Purebreds, their hips are going
one cold, one cold.
Down. Poodle. No, I mean, a mutt always
spend
take
three
a
grand
down.
On a dog, you know what I mean? If he got hit by a car, you'd be like, okay, but no, he dies because his hip falls out.
Right.
That's
or
not
he
good.
Gets a cough.
But you know what? I hate to say, but the purebred's still better looking. You know what I mean?
Well,
sometimes
you know
you get that wild card
once in a while.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
And that's better than anything else.
Once in a while, you get that Akita crossed with a lab, and it has those one blue eye and one brown eye.
Oh, that's
like,
a hot one.
Yeah. Once in a while, you get that, you know, you get that chick, and she's like, well, my mom is full Cherokee Indian, and my dad's Dutch, you know, and you're like, whoa.
That's a good look.
Wow, it works. It can go south in a hurry,
what's
though.
What's one of the superhero girls we had up here? What's her name?
Superhero girl.
Isn't she a superhero? She's kind of Korean, kind of Drake.
Oh, like, kind I don't of, know. Like, all those Lees and Lou's
Kelly,
and all that.
Kelly who?
Yeah. Yeah, that works. Oh, no. That's my impression of a Mexican mom answering the phone when you ask for a kid.
Hi, he no here.
Yeah, that's how it works. You ever try to call? Ever try to get your maid on the phone? You try. Hey, is Oswaldo there? Oswaldo? No, he no here.
He no here today.
It's like, yeah, okay.
He's his boss.
Relax.
He's still no here.
It's not the INS. I got to talk to the guy. They're smart though.
Very.
They're smart people because they don't just hop right on the phone. And they don't, you know, I was talking about this because I employ a lot of Mexicans and I realize they have a nice don't ask, don't tell policy in front of each other. They don't rat each other out.
Mm.
You,
wow.
You just say to even the Mexican guys who I'm working with, I'll just say, hey, Rogelio, where's Oswaldo? They're just like, I don't know. Why should he tell me?
Right.
What's it going to do for him? Oswaldo could get in trouble. Oswaldo could get mad at him. He just says, I don't know, and he's out of it.
Yeah, he's done.
It's none of this.
But he's standing right there.
And
he won't tell you.
But he doesn't want to get into that. You know, see, the white guy, it's like, white guy rat a guy out. Like, where's Ray? Ray went to the liquor store. I told him not to go, but he said to F off. He was going.
He said F Adam. Stormed out.
Mexican guy's like, where's, I don't know, Rahel? No, don't know. And just right back to work. They never get caught up in anything.
It's true. That's right.
Smart.
All day, every day.
That's the way I want to do it. So, yeah, genetic diversity.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're doing 2005.
Makes you stronger.
Better.
Better looking.
This is awesome.
Yeah, Eurasian. That's a nice combo there. Because
love
let me
it.
Tell you something about the Asians. It's all there for the Asians, but they're like a chili that's a little too hot. You know what I mean? They need to be thinned out.
Just a little bit.
All the flavors there, all the ingredients are there. We just need to put a little flour in there, a little more broth. Oh, just
what a good zesty taste it is.
Thicken it up a little bit just to take it a little hot. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But the Euro-Asian women are very beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
They're breathtaking. You really don't know what you're dealing with there.
Oh,
you're
whoa. That's when that goes. And you know what? It doesn't go south that often either.
Nah.
There's not that much to go wrong.
You just don't go real. Unless the Euro is a little beat up.
In the Euro side.
If the Euro side is a little weird, a little chunky,
right.
You might get a real bad.
No, I don't blame the Asian
though.
Side.
It can go good.
It can go good. It can go very good.
It can go wonderful.
Yeah.
Even with the chunky heritage.
Oh, really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You get a birth of butt right there.
Nice ass.
Oh. Yeah, you get a nice Euro booty.
Drew likes a little something. I know Bill does.
Like a little nice Euro booty on
Nothing
that.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, let's see.
This is an awesome call. I got to hear this
Professional dominatrix.
Wow.
Wait.
Jessica, go ahead.
Hi. Oh, my God. Sorry. I'm just totally stoked I'm on the show. Anyway, I'm a professional dominatrix up in Northern California.
What do you do?
I take sessions of guys, basically, they come in and they're like, I want to get my ass beat. And we get up dressed up in scary clothes and hit them with all sorts of various objects.
So it's all about just beating on them, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Beat on them, verbal humiliation, all sorts of really interesting psychological stuff.
Beautiful.
Wow.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's a great thing. Are you strong?
Yeah, actually, I am.
Wow.
Giggling. I kicked the crap out of guys.
Speaking of ethnicities, no black guys, no Mexicans ever come in there and want to get kicked around, right?
No, we do. Once in a while?
You get a black guy?
Yeah.
Not a Mexican guy.
Yeah, we get both.
Wow.
Yeah. We've come a long way.
Everybody wants their ass back.
Society really is moving along.
That's good. Everybody's into the dominatrix.
Let me tell you something. In the past, the dominatrix did not see the black man or the Latino man because he was busy getting his ass kicked in society.
Yeah.
He'd go out and get his ass kicked all day. When he paid money for a woman, he wanted to kick some ass and get a nice BJ.
Right.
He didn't want to get his ass kicked. That was reserved for the fat white guys who were dominating everyone at work and firing people. They want to compensate by going in and getting their ass kicked a little.
Yeah, just get a feel
but
on the job training a little bit.
This is a good sign for society that she's servicing all
everybody.
The cultures. That's right.
I will spank your ass.
She's kicking rainbow ass. It's like a Skittles commercial.
But the reason I was calling, first of all, I have to say the reason I'm so nervous is because I've been listening to you guys since I was 12.
That's good.
And Adam, you are so sexy. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wow. All right.
Yeah. I'd like to give a flogger to you. I'm sorry. I really do.
A flogger?
Yeah, a flogger.
All right.
Is that like a cat of nine tails kind of thing?
A flog with it.
No, actually, I don't know how to use one of those. I'm still training, but...
they have a training school for this? Okay.
There you go. You got to get registered.
Yeah.
The guys I'm fascinated by are the guys that dress up like horses and pull the carriages along.
Yeah, the pony ride stuff.
We get those, I swear.
Do you have those?
Yeah, we get... it's called Pony Play.
I cannot process that.
I don't like that one.
I think I understand humans, and that one just throws me completely. It's like, what?
Funny, yeah. No, you really do think you understand people. But the reason I was calling was just because I had an appointment today with a gentleman that looked almost exactly like Dr. Drew.
Painful erection will not go away.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know it wasn't me?
Yeah, how do you know it wasn't him?
Because he was much more overweight than George Tucker.
Anything.
Drew is.
Oh, yeah. You just got to relax.
Yeah,
Dr. dropped 30. Voice.
Well, it's coming together. I mean, Drew's an attractive man, and Drew would not need your services.
Exactly.
Right, but this guy was like a fat Dr. Drew.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Maybe he wanted you to beat the fat off of him.
I tried.
Now, do you know what this guy does for a living? He's not a doctor, is he?
They don't usually tell us. No, I don't think he's a doctor.
Smart. Yeah, but usually professionals, right?
Yeah, usually. One of the other ones I had today, he wanted a lot of humiliation because he had to make this big merger or something like that, like $1 million or whatever. I'm sure they're probably just blowing smoke up my ass. But,
This fits.
But yeah, it fits. So he wants to be humiliated so it clears his head for a proper decision? Or what? What?
Because he's going to probably fire. A lot of people are going to lose their jobs and stuff. Yeah. So with the merger, feels a little guilt.
Yeah. So you want to beat the guilt out of him, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
I'll tell you the part that doesn't fit. The Mexican guy. You've never done a Mexican guy. One guy.
I swear.
One out of 500 guys, right?
Well, yeah. But I have to do that today, too.
Well, no, Asian's fine.
Yeah, they love it.
No, that's plenty. They got what you call, they got expendable cash.
They also got a little
there's issues.
Stuff.
Yeah. There's things that need to come out.
They need to be beat up.
Yeah, small people, big problems.
Yeah.
Sound an American Indian there.
How'd the guy do today?
Yeah.
The Dr. Drew guy?
Yeah, Dr. Drew guy, yeah.
He wanted me to collar him and basically drag him around by a leash and humiliate him and tell him that he was a piece of whatever.
Right.
And,
what's he wearing during this time?
Well, we usually strip them. They usually strip themselves, too. But he came in just a T-shirt and jeans.
Are they, like, having erections and getting aroused and stuff?
Yeah, but we don't deal with... There's no genital contact. There's no sexual favors.
Are they contacting
they're making contact with their genitalia.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's how you know the session's over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
How long do they usually last? I've never done it, but I was wondering.
How long do you what?
How long
does the session last?
Yeah, until he finishes.
Is it an hour? What is it?
That guy was an hour.
Yeah, but do you charge by the hour?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, because let me tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be mindful of the clock.
Yeah.
Because it's one of these things where you don't pay by 20-minute increments.
Right,
it's not a parking lot at the airport. You know, you pay by the hour.
Right.
So you pay for an hour. You bust a nut at minute number 8.
Yes.
You're out. You're now at an hour.
Yeah.
Now you're just sitting there thinking, or you're just riding out the next 52 minutes thinking about your family while you're wearing a leather vest with a sheriff badge on it, and you have a flaccid penis just sitting in a puddle of its own sweat. Just you feel like an idiot at this point. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get out of there. After you have an orgasm.
Whenever you think
But let me tell you. Hold on a second, Drew. You don't want to get into that next hour.
Oh,
see what I'm saying?
You got to finish.
So
right.
I'm working it like, you know, I'm timing it.
58, 59.
He's very,
I gotta
very
go.
Time conscious. Just
about 4/10 of a second earlier. I'm sorry. I'd go right up to the edge of that hour.
But is that the way they do it? Like if you come too fast,
you're still paying for the hour.
You can't do that. You have to be very, very, very diligent with your
What happens if they get into the next hour?
If they get into the next hour, we basically find a way to usher them out quickly, you know, whether or not they get to come or whatever.
Well, what if they just want another hour?
Another hour? Well, then they pay again. But if we have another appointment scheduled, then they got to get their little asses out.
But here's the deal. I mean, I got to
nice to see them mopping up as you. I mean, listen. I don't even like going to a diner where the table's still messy from the last thing where the busboy wipes. Imagine this.
Oh, cleaning that up.
You know what I mean? I don't want to see a little relish in front of me, a little spilled Diet Coke. Busboy in there. Oh, man. And how much does it cost, Jessica?
Let's see. For one lady, it's $130 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
For two, you add $65 to it, so it's $195 per hour. And
they don't work. They work for the tips.
You have to tip them too.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to, but we like it.
It would be nice if you got whipped very well.
It'd be nice to tip well whipped.
But here's the deal: if you ever have sort of a ever have thoughts about how well we understand the human being, just muse on this. Just ruminate on this for a few minutes. And realize how totally bizarre and irrational humans are. There's no rationalizing any of this. There's none. You cannot make sense, so to speak, of any of this. It is bizarre motivational impulses that are remnants of something that gets imprinted on people's brain, and they just got to act it out.
Well, I always just
people
sort
try
of,
to make sense of it, but reality is they don't
made,
make sense.
I've never made no. any sense of the, anybody.
There may be
to make
sort of reasons of sort of a sort, but to be reasonable about the irrational. Already doesn't fit.
Well, about the best I can do with this, and this doesn't explain everything, but I lump there's a subsection of society that just likes their sex, likes the novelty, almost grotesque, bizarre side of sex. Mm. And
but think about a big category that is.
Well, I know, these are the people that like to see people getting defecated on, or like the whiz on somebody, or whatever.
You think those are the same guys that like watching the chick getting hit by the freight train and stuff. That's the same guy.
Yeah, I kind of do. I put these guys into that culture too, where there's a whole set. There's a segment of society that wants to get their genitals pierced, that wants to get sleeved with tattoos, that would rather, instead of just seeing two good-looking people having sex, would rather see three guys inside one chick's ass simultaneously. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's.
But that has sort of novelty arousal quality.
Right,
but why about these weird impulses?
But 100 years ago,
how are these things even sexual?
But look at it this way: the circus has always been popular. Oh. The sideshow.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, for
but
hundreds
that's
of years,
voyeurism.
Well, there's a chick with a beard or a guy with a unicorn coming out of his forehead.
Like
they just want to go look
but
at
how
the
does that,
weird.
I get that people like the macabre and the weird and they sort of attracted to violence, but how does that become sexual?
All right, but everything you like can sort of become sexual.
No. If you're effed up.
How do you make pony play?
Right.
How
does pulling Cinderella's carriage become ejaculation? How does that happen?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because you're looking to degrade yourself.
And how does that become sexual?
Because it's a sort of pain principle thing. Every human being has this. You got a fingernail that got smashed with a hammer, and every time you touch it, it's painful.
Yeah, right.
There's a part of you that it will flick at it and inflict the same pain over and over.
Yes.
Now, for us, we'll do it a couple of minutes, and then we'll wrap it up and go to bed.
Yeah. Right.
Other people sort of really get into that aspect of their life. Yeah. I think these are those people. It's like if there's something bizarre, something that frightens them, they almost have to embrace it.
I can get all that. But what I'm a billion miles, and I'm supposed to be the insightful guy here, a billion miles away from is how that then becomes sexual. To me, there could be new to further apart experiences than poking yourself with a hot poker and sex.
I'm saying things that induce feelings can become feelings of arousal, can become sexual very easily.
So it's almost like we're a circuit, and you opened up a circuit of arousal, and there's sort of... It stimulates a magnetic field or something that activates another circuit.
Yeah.
Another circuit, a byproduct of the arousal.
I think in a weird...
Because to say it makes sense...
No, it doesn't make
sense.
But what I mean is you could probably... If you had a friend who had a husband or boyfriend buy it in a motorcycle accident, you'd have a much better chance of having sex with her that night than you would, you know, the week before he died. or that, after to me, that, just, but, just
to me,
by
that's them trying to regulate their feelings with something,
right?
You know, trying to fill themselves.
Your man just
yeah.
come in the room,
but to
yeah.
say now what you have a chance of doing with that person is put them in a doggy collar and have them jack. You
know, well, that's a taller order. I think I could still do it.
That stuff does not work for me.
This is the way he would have wanted it.
It's some sort of weird.
Let me spank you, baby.
It's a circuit that got opened up.
I feel like he's hovering over us, looking at us right now.
It's like, you know what it is? Like a rhythm disturbance in your heart.
Yes.
Like the heart's not going regular. It's like going off of a couple beats, and this other circuit gets opened up, and this is what the manifestations are. This.
Yeah. I don't have any great answers for pony play. I'm just saying.
You know, because people go, oh, well, you know, sex can be about pain and about this. Yeah. Okay. But no. Having high levels of intensity in sex is different than pain becoming sex.
Yeah.
I have a good one. What if somebody's asking you to do something that you think is totally unsafe? Would you still do it? I mean, does the dominatrix still do it? Is she still there?
Yeah, let me put her on hold. Jessica?
Yeah, Jessie? Hi.
Jessica, I had a question for you. If a person came in and they asked you to do something that might be, you know, borderline unsafe, would you still do it knowing that it could turn out pretty bad?
No, of course not.
All right.
Okay. What
how
about
dare you, Bill?
What won't you do?
That's very delicate sensibility.
What requests have you turned down? What have you turned down recently?
What have I turned down? There was recently a call to us that was asking for someone to be a submissive, that they wanted to heavily, heavily cane her. And absolutely none of the women I work with will accept that.
Cane her. Oh, okay.
Do you have to bring your own cane, or
no?
Is there a specific cane?
But here's what leads me to speculate that if this kind of violence can become sexual, maybe other kinds of violence has a sort of sexual drive to it, too, and that's where we get suicide bombers and things like that.
Well, I mean, there's rape, and who the hell knows? I mean, I do think things are sort of attached to sexuality,
drive,
or at least the cousin of sexuality. Yeah. A lot of drives. I mean, it gets you up off your ass in the morning. Yeah?
Usually.
All right. We're going to take a little break. Bill Bellamy is in studio tonight. Dear friend, Bill Bellamy.
He's going to be a good time. That was a good one.
He's going to be at the Ontario Improv Thursday through Sunday.
Way to go, B!
This Thursday through Sunday. We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak to Erica. She got her clit pierced and it tore.
Reason number 38 to get a clitoris piercing.
Right. Or not to. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. Then Dr. Drew, Bill Bellamy.
In the house.
Tonight, he's going to be at the Ontario Improv Thursday through Sunday. This Thursday through Sunday. Also, got a DVD coming out.
Yeah, man. It's a one-hour special, Big A.
Comes out September 20th.
Yep. It's called Back to My Roots. I thought it was time to come with a really, really funny, well-thought, well-written one-hour special, because it's been about six or seven years since I did. My last one was on Showtime.
Where'd you record this?
In Dallas, Texas.
Did you go out there specifically to do this, or was this part of your concert tour?
Yeah, it was specifically to do that one. And the reason I think we chose Dallas, because that was like the first place I performed out of my area. Like, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, and I was like, man, what was one of the most significant places I performed? And I just remember my first appearance when I went on the road. I went to Dallas, Texas, and I had such a great time. So it was just fond memories there. I went back. It was awesome.
What's your story? How did you get started? How did you get discovered? How did you get on MTV? What did you do in high school? Did you go to college?
Yeah. Well, I went, definitely went to high school. No. But I actually got interested in comedy in college, just messing around, telling
jokes.
Where
were you in college?
I went to Rutgers. And
which college?
Yeah, Rutgers, I know. It's like huge. Five campuses, right? I went to Livingston College, actually. And what was so crazy was I just stumbled upon comedy. It was nothing. I never grew up saying I'm going to be this comedic dude. I just sort of like was very funny around my friends. Everybody was like, dude, you're pretty crazy, you know. Next thing you know, I was like, all right, well, maybe let me write some of this stuff down. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, I'm doing open mics. Next thing you know, I'm in school doing like hosting stuff, talent shows, go from that, graduate. I started doing like, you know, open mics in New York.
Right.
Just boom, pop in. I see Chris Rock. I see Dave Chappelle. You know, we're all like doing our thing. And I started getting a name in the city, and I got discovered by a lady named Tracy Jordan from MTV. She was like, dude, you're pretty funny. Do you like music? Next thing I know, I'm on MTV.
So how old are you at this point?
38.
No, now, but how old are you?
Oh, back then, I was probably about 22, 23.
Wow. So it happened pretty quick. I mean, what'd you study in college?
Economics. I went to school for business, so I was thinking, like, you know, I'm going to be this, like, super-duper stockbroker kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I was going to get in investment stuff. And when I found out that I really love to make people laugh, it was just the immediate feeling that I had. I knew that was the right move.
Do you know, though, because of your economic background, do you feel confident investing your money, or do you feel like you have a sort of step up on the general populace in terms of if you have some money, you know where to put it or know what to do with it?
I just think that I have a understanding of how to make money work for you. You know, if you
From
have
college
some.
Economics?
Reading a
why
lot.
You reading know? A lot. So you've
what about economics in college?
It has no relationship to reading a spreadsheet for a company. I knew that he had to have done some outside studying on his own if he's interested in that.
No, but seriously, you know, when you start thinking about investments, you know, I figured like once I started making some money, I would want to, you know.
Right, so you studied up.
So I started reading a lot and figuring like, what do people do who have money?
That's
like, you know,
there.
And then you start talking to people who have money.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it's like, it's not a big maze. You just kind of like do a little at a time.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about that. Well, I had a couple thoughts. One is somebody ought to teach just a 1 month class on like what to do.
With
your money. Not what to do to save it, what to do to make it if you have a little.
Right.
You know, should you pay your mortgage with your credit card and then pay the whatever percent on the credit card? Should you make an extra mortgage payment a year instead of just a handful of basic
like
whatever?
Top
you know?
10 things to do.
Top 10 things.
The problem
I mean,
with
people
that is,
are completely out of it.
But the problem is there is if you had 100 guys teach that course, each guy would come up with 10 different top 10s.
Yeah.
So what you need is your own sort of, you got to read it yourself and then find somebody you kind of relate to help you.
No, but here's what I think you need. You need a top 10 for a single guy in his 20s, a top 10 for a young couple, a
top 10 for the family
for a guy
man.
Who just got a raise, is making over 100 grand a year. You know, there would be a couple of different top 10s, but just some, you know, it was never discussed. It was never discussed at school. It was never discussed at home. I don't think most people, ironically, most poor people really never hear anything about
ever.
It. They get, you know, it's like, I had I owed the IRS, I don't know, $3,400. They gave me my minimum payment plan when I was in my 20s. I paid like $33 a month. I paid $33 a month for 6 years. And then finally, when I made a little money and decided I was just going to pay it off, it was still $3,800. I just paid the interest and the penalty every month for years. I mean, you don't really, you know. People don't realize how much it costs to be poor. Like, if you got Sterling credit, you can go in and buy a car at 4%, 3%, or 0%. If you've had a couple of bad run-ins, you're paying 18%.
Yeah.
Well, you are punished.
Harsh.
You're punished harsh. You can get a credit card, run up 5-10 grand debt, pay the minimum. You'll pay $50 a month for the rest of your life. You'll never get into that principle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just... Now you're poor, and it's costing you more to be poor.
Right.
Yeah,
you can just get your ass kicked when you're poor.
Right.
You do.
Like, all day.
Yeah.
It's like a nonstop kicking.
No, you realize it's just, I'll tell you how it works, too. It's like, it costs $2 to get the money out of the ATM.
Right.
So when you're poor, you only take $20 at a time.
Right.
Because you just can't afford to take a wad out. I would just go take $20 at a time. I didn't even have that. So it was $2 times 20. It was like 10%.
Yeah.
You're paying 10% every time you take 10%
of your money.
Yeah. Now you get $300 out, you're paying 2%. or whatever, however it works out to be less.
Right.
Point is you're paying 10%, so it costs more. You're filling up your car. You can't fill up your car. You got to put $5-$10 in at a time. When you're poor, you got to stop at the gas station five times as much, using more time, all that stuff. You know what I mean? It just costs more.
So, Adam, stay rich.
Oh, man, are you kidding? Literally a millionaire, Bill. Literally. Literally.
Brought in the Rob report today.
Yeah.
This guy's balling out of control. Came in a helicopter today.
That's right. Rappelled down, wearing a white blazer. Yeah, like James Bond. Erica?
Yeah?
You're 20?
No, I'm 18.
Oh, you're 18.
Fair enough. I love you, Adam.
Well, thank you.
What's Corolla. Up?
Yep.
Adam.
Corolla. Hey, Bill.
Yo.
Yeah. Trying to get, you know, the pool game Marco Polo?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get that change to Adam Carolla.
Oh, that'd be hot.
Little nieces and nephews flapping around in the pool. Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla. Yeah?
And get into it.
That'd be hot, right?
That might work. You just got to get it rolling.
That's what I'm doing.
Hit pool parties nationwide.
Oh, no. I'm out there. Erica?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening?
Oh, yesterday my clit hood tore.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and so I was wondering, the only way to get it fixed, is it even worth getting surgery over?
No, is it? Do they repair that?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. Is there actually two flaps now?
Well, yeah, because it's like if your tongue ring got pulled out,
does it look like a snake's tongue?
Yeah.
It's a forked hood.
Little one.
A little forward to it, but it's not the. When did this happen?
It just happened yesterday.
Okay, and the edges of the forked tongue aren't coming together and sort of healing.
Right,
they aren't.
Yeah, and I didn't even. The weird thing is, I didn't even feel it tear out. Like it fell, and I didn't think anything of it till later.
I think this will kind of repair itself.
Really?
Maybe I'm not imagining what you've got here. Is it actually affecting the clitoris itself?
It's right above the clit.
Yeah, so it's just like if you doesn't affect it.
It's like you twat a male's prepuce. It's just
You're fine. I had my dog step on my nutsack today.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Yeah, and I mean it was on the ground.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Stepped his paw right through it.
Well, Adam has a prodigious sack, and so it kind of flops out of the open.
It just
could
get in the way of things.
I'm not kidding. I was wearing my bathrobe and nothing else. My dog was barking at the French door. I came up behind the dog. I was sitting on the carpet. I was going to grab the dog, do a bear hug, and sort of roll backward onto my back and pull the dog and like slap its belly and stuff. As I was pulling the dog backwards, I was sitting down almost kind of Indian style, just my ass. It took a step back. The nut sack was on the ground. It stepped onto the nut. It just put the full weight on the nut as I teetered the dog back on its paw. And then the dog was like, I was like, oh! And my wife was like, you're hurting her! And I was like, no.
It's you my
nut. I said, my nut. She stepped on my nut. And I'm pretty sure she did it on purpose, too. I mean, it's one thing to get your nut hit or stepped on or smacked. It's another thing when you have your nut actually resting on terra firma.
You're talking about crushed.
And somebody steps on it. That's crushed.
For about 2-3 extra seconds.
That's
a lot of pain.
Yeah. And by the way, dogs don't back off. You know, they don't go, oh, got his nut.
They don't jump off.
You know when you're, whoa, you know, you can do that weird dance around thing.
No, they're just standing and looking.
Yeah, see, guys, guys got that thing like when the defensive end is rushing the quarterback, but he released the ball and they don't want to get a penalty.
So
they'll do that
release.
Thing. They'll do that thing where they miss the punter or something. They'll do that with your nut sack.
Sure.
Dog. They don't got that.
No.
They keep going. They follow through. Speaking of that, let me just tell you something that was funny. You know, I go home and I watch. You know, I love football season.
Right.
And now you can turn on channel 206 or something. They just show old NFL games and it's cool. Last night they had like Bad Boys of the NFL. And then Oakland Raiders, Lyle Alzado, the usual stuff. And they're interviewing. Deacon Jones, Rams All Pro, and Deacon is one of these guys. He's so bad he's such a badass. His eyeballs are bloodshot all the time. Like you know the black guys are just
look like they just drink. Just liquor.
Black, and their eyes are like glassy and bloodshot and everything.
It was Merlin Olsen, Youngblood,
Rosie Greer, Youngblood is there, and Deacon Jones.
What were they called?
Fearsome foursome. So Deacon Jones goes, well, what I would do is I'd go upside the head. you know, because that's back when it was just head slapping. I mean, these guys would just whack each other in the side of the head, knock the guy out, and go crush a quarterback. And they're just clotheslining and headhunting. I mean, you watch those old films from the 60s and even the 70s. Guys just coming in, they would just pad their arms, and they would just come flying in and clothesline everybody. And there's a couple, there's a guy in Denver, used to. But anyway, so Deacon is being interviewed, and Deacon, he goes, "Now I found out, when you go upside a man or a woman's head," he actually added woman into the thing.
This is like the 70s, woman.
He found out through technique, through trial and error, that he's basically saying you whack someone in the side of the head and they'll blink for a minute and you can get around him. Right. Now, I don't know why he had to add woman.
I think Dinkin Jones had to really try it out on a few women in the day.
I mean, when you're interviewing, you're talking about a football technique. Like, we're not asking what you're doing bars. We're just saying, how do you get around the strong side tackle? And he goes, "You go upside a man or a woman's head." He actually added woman. I was so glad because I had a couple glasses of wine. I mean, the TiVo remote.
Let me see
him say that again. That was awesome. Or a woman's head. Yeah. I'd like to talk to Deacon's first wife, see how that was going. Practice a little
she
head
can't
slap.
Remember anything. She got clotheslined so many times.
And I watched Paper Lion the other day.
Oh, that's a good movie.
You got to go back and see that.
I've seen it.
Paper
Recently?
Lion?
Yeah. Alan
Alda. Really, it throws you. You got to. All-pro football team, doing jumping jacks and stretching the way a high school football team would.
Hey, Bill was in a classic football movie.
Yeah, Any Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday.
That was one of the most ambitious, I thought, portrayals of football life.
Yeah.
Because it was really real. I mean, the stuff that they cut out of the movie, I don't think the NFL would have supported, but it was just
what
real.
What did they cut out?
A lot of the stuff like, you know, the drugs, the sex.
They cut out because they were afraid the NFL would object?
No, the NFL cut it out.
Oh.
Right. The NFL didn't want to sanction. That's why, stuff. I mean, initially in the film, we were going to wear NFL uniforms.
Wow.
And the way Oliver Stone wrote the movie, it was going to be a lot of the real undertones, what's going on, the pressures, the raw deals that's going to guys that don't make their bonuses and why they're like, you know, it was just going to be a really rough version of Any Given Sunday. So they just changed it up. We became the Sharks.
Right. Yeah.
And we paid the Penguins
like
or something.
The Tamesmen or something.
Yeah, like they just flipped the script.
The Lancers.
Yeah. But Bill looked good in his uniform and looked like he could play.
I did. I actually went to a football camp.
You looked
did you
like
play
you
high
knew
school?
What you were doing.
No. I never played, you know, organized football. I was too skinny. I was like 110 pounds.
But it's funny. You moved well. Well, you're fluid.
Well, when guys are chasing you that are really fast.
Yeah, but you can still look dorky when you're running. Believe you me. Ever seen Kimmel run?
Ooh, is it crazy?
Oh, man.
Woof.
Ain't a football camp big enough for him. All right, let's take a break. Bill Bellamy
we'll
in
be
studio.
Back.
Drew, you look all right running, right?
Can you run,
You know, I look really good for about 5 yards.
Drew That's it? Yeah. So you're just doing a quick
I'm
sled.
Super quick. Yeah. Super quick. And then it's
He's
just
a possession type
then
receiver.
It's all white.
Yeah.
All white, man. Faggot better run.
Let's take ourselves a. Oh, by the way, speaking of white guys versus black guys, another thing I was watching was the running back on Denver a few years ago. He got injured. He was 2000, I don't know, rookie of the year or something. He was one of these guys. Anyway, never played high school ball.
Really?
They showed pictures of him in the band playing the drums.
Wow.
Like he loved to play the drums. Ain't a white guy on the planet that set the rookie record for rushing yards. Didn't play any high school ball. I just never played. Never played Pop Warner. Never played. Never wanted to play.
The Glee Club.
There's a lot of God given talent out there.
Yeah. It don't have blue eyes either.
No.
It's not.
If he's kicking field goals sometimes.
Yeah, but that guy's been kicking since he was 9.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. He knew he was going to be a kicker.
I just love hearing about these guys. This guy, I don't know, he was the Denver back. You know, four years ago, he ran for 1,500 yards. He was, you know, Denver had a few backs that was just making tons of yards. Point is they didn't. He never thought about playing football in high school. Went right through. Then he went to the Marines. Still no football. He's going to be rookie of the year in the NFL. Now imagine this. Here's a guy.
Can't.
He doesn't play high school ball.
No.
He then goes from high school, goes from playing the drums into the Marines. Now he's like 21, 22. He's in the Marines. And yet he's still not going to be NFL Rookie of the Year in half. He's still not there yet. Meanwhile, he's not touching football. Do you know what I'm saying?
Unthinkable. Yeah.
Unthinkable, isn't it?
Yeah, unthinkable.
All right. I'll find out that guy's name.
But why don't you got no play, player?
Bill Bellamy in tonight. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. All right, come on. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew, you typing that in?
You guys are still looking for that?
Well, Chris spent the beginning part looking for it.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Chris doesn't, he doesn't, like if he was a fisherman, he'd have a gill net, not a harpoon. You know, and he goes wide and starts, you know, he was reeling it into the boat. And then he had some dolphins and some plankton and some seaweed in there. You just got to sort through it. That's all before
you're getting everything.
Right. I can get it eventually, but.
You start wide. All right, Drew, did you punch in NFL rookie rushing record? All right. He has the record for, it's a rookie rushing record. All right. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew.
And this is Bill Bellamy.
And that's Bill Bellamy. Bill can be found at the Ontario Improv Thursday through Sunday. That is this Thursday through Sunday. What's that? I don't think it's Clinton Portis.
No.
True, you can't find the guy who's the rookie.
I don't really have time, exactly.
What do you mean you don't have time? Go find it, would you? Hey, can't you just punch that in?
I did. It didn't come up.
Didn't come up? No. Yeah, okay. Anderson, get on the internet and find this thing, would you? Come on, we got a question for Bill, by the way. The guy has the rookie rushing record for Denver, 2000 or 2001, huh? I had 1,400 yards. I just want to figure out the guy's name. It's driving me nuts now. Dan?
Yo, what's going on, Adam?
Yo, you got a question for Bill?
Yeah, I do, but real quick, the running back that has the rookie rushing record is Mike Anderson from Utah.
Mike.
Utah?
He played for Denver, too?
Oh, Mike Anderson.
Yeah, Mike Anderson. He's a running back for the Denver Broncos.
For Denver, actually, yeah, Mike Anderson.
Yeah, the ironic part is a black guy for Utah, and he got the rookie rushing record.
Well, he got the rookie rushing record in Denver.
Yeah, in Denver, but he played college ball in Utah.
You're right. A Mormon?
I understand that.
Yeah, right, my question for Bill was, I'm actually a young and inspiring stand-up comedian, and I was wondering, I was thinking about moving to New York to try to do stand-up.
Right.
But a bunch of the comedians that I work with tell me to move to L.A.
What do you look to do with your comedy, though? Like,
You know, a lot of people, Adam, I'm a huge fan of Love Line. I'm actually the board op for KFMA in Tucson.
Oh, mm-hmm. Good.
I'm coming to Arizona day after tomorrow.
Why don't you go now?
Yeah, actually, hey, Bill, your buddy from How to Be a Player did a special show Sunday and Monday night at the Comedy Club down here.
Oh, really?
Get on the internet, figure out his name.
I know who he is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would tell you his name, but I don't honestly know it. So.
What do you think? Your friends say go to L.A. You think go to New York.
Well, here's the deal. It's a lovely 118 in Tucson today.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You got to go somewhere.
Go somewhere.
Yeah, you got to get out of there. The closest destination would be coming to L.A., but the thing about L.A. is you have to be really, really sure of what your intentions are.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to come out here and just be a stand-up, I think it's really, really difficult to start now because...
What about
doing
improvisational troops and that kind of thing?
You don't make any money.
You don't make any money in L.A. You know, they're really...
Well, you don't make
tough on letting you get on stage. You know, in New York, you can get on. In New York, you can get on stage a lot easier, I think.
But how about this? I mean, I always felt when I used to try to do stand up that living in L.A. was almost too tough, too competitive. If you were at a smaller town, if you could find a place, even if it's just a restaurant or something, where you could work out for a couple of years, log your time on stage, and then go somewhere.
Oh,
I mean,
Ace Man, I'm hearing what you're saying. In fact, I've been listening to Loveline for about 6 or 7 years.
Right.
And I actually started to open mic in Tucson. I'm a student at U of A, which everyone knows is a 4-year junior college, as you would call
six
it.
Or six or seven years.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm in my fifth year, so I'm actually getting out of there early.
Right, so you've paid your dues in terms of the open mics?
Oh, exactly. I mean, I've been doing open mic since I was 19, and I'm 22 now.
All right, well, here's all I'm saying, and I know you're asking Bill. I'm just saying I wouldn't go to New York or L.A. without a good, tight 10, 15 minutes.
I mean, it better be hilarious.
That you could showcase to somebody and get a gig instead of just come here and start wandering around.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is I actually heard you, when you guys had Dave Attell on Loveline, you were asking, you know, a lot of people use stand-up comedy as a jumping pad towards acting, writing, directing, all that.
Right.
But I actually like stand-up just for stand-up. That's all I want to do. I love stand-up. I've loved it ever since, you know, I was a little kid.
There's nothing can stop you. You have to love it because, I mean, I love to make people laugh. Like, at the end of the day, it is nothing that I do that makes me happier than just, like, seeing people fall over laughing. It's just a beautiful gift to have. But if that is the true love, then you can perform anywhere. It just depends on how far you want to take it. Because, I mean, I've performed at that improv out there in Tempe, and it's really nice club.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think there's this almost adage or almost a belief that you just have to move. No matter where you are, if you're going to do something, you got to pack up and go to another town.
It just depends on what you want to do with it. I mean, I was good in New Jersey. I lived in New Jersey. I worked out there for like 2-3 years, and then I started, you know, doing my thing in New York. But I didn't want to just be the best dude in New Jersey.
Right, but and there's a time you outgrow it. But I'm not so sure that Dan has outgrown wherever he is.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. He's 22. Better to be good, wait an extra year, really hone your craft, and then make the move and get a gig, then go get rejected, put your tail between your legs, and move back. Bill Bellamy is in studio tonight. You want to see him apply his trade. He's going to be at the Ontario Improv Thursday through Sunday. This Thursday through Sunday, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak to boyfriend wants to have threesome with girl who does drugs. Yeah, and they live in Utah. All that after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, Bill Bellamy.
Oh, man, we are like the three amigos tonight.
Yeah.
We're knocking them the first question out the box, dominatrix.
It's
beating ass for a living.
Join cars.
It's good to see Bill for a live. It's good to see Bill because it's been a little while.
Yeah,
over
man,
a year,
I've been
I
doing
say.
Yeah, it's been over a year. I mean, since then, I've shot 2 movies. What else I do?
TV pilot?
I did a pilot for Fox, but it didn't get picked up. It was a sports agency show called Amy Coin, which was an ensemble. Really great idea.
Hey, I like the, what was it, Driven? What was the...
Fastlane.
Fastlane.
Yeah. Fastlane was the bomb. For everybody out there who ever watched the show, who dropped by my website and just left notes about the show, so many people got wind of it and liked it. I don't know why Fox pulled the plugs too early, I think.
Yeah, well, I think, just from watching the episodes that you did, it looked like a pretty expensive show to do.
It was
like
crazy.
Making a movie. They were like flipping cars and blowing stuff up, and it was shot like a movie. I mean, when the car rolled...
Action movie.
It was shot like an action movie. When the car rolled over, it wasn't just one long shot. It was a shot from inside the car, the shot from under the car, the camera that was
the
mounted...
The cigarette that flew out the window.
Camera mounted to a squirrel that ran in front of the car. It was all these crazy angles. Like, you realize, that 3 seconds there, that cost
about 400
grand.
Yeah.
That's what that took right there.
And then he had to pay us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was $8.
Yeah. That was $8.
Who was your partner in that?
Peter Facinelli.
What's he up to?
Well, last that I saw, he was he had a recurring role on 6 Feet Under.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So and Tiffany just got married.
Yep. Saw that on the cover. So
yeah, Tiffany, she finally settled
Amber
down.
Amber Thiessen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Tiffany Amber Thiessen. But unbelievable to your ears right now. I know this is going to sound crazy. They have put the whole show, the whole season on Court TV.
I've seen it.
I'm like, whoa.
I didn't even know what it was on, but it was on somewhere. It keeps things are getting repurposed, as they say.
Yeah.
And they're just getting rerun. We do the Andy Milonakis show on MTV, and the things over on, like, Bravo. Like, the stuff, like, it used to be stuff would be on... It'd be on NBC for 8 years, and then it would go off the air for 6 years, and then it would pop up on USA 8 years later, something
they don't
like
wait.
That. Now, the original episode they showed Sunday night on MTV is showing up, like, on Bravo on Tuesday.
Wow.
Like, shows that they only made six episodes of are in syndication.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know how many Fastlane episodes
we
they did.
We did 22.
Did 22 episodes, but there's shows like Action that you may not remember because they only did, like, six or eight of them.
They still Hackett, showing it?
Buddy Hackett. And-
yeah, right, right. Those things are showing up places. Like, it's
think
weird.
Because there's so many channels and stuff that they need programming, so they just like, what are you doing with that Fastlane? Can I hold it?
Well, yeah. Why not take good stuff and show it?
Why not? And as opposed to what? Just showing the Indian head with the or like when we were growing up, remember you'd see like the F-15 climbing and it'd be like, and I reached up and I touched the face of God. And you'd be like, huh? Oh, it's late. I got to go to bed. Like when I hear Charlton Heston talking about touching the face of God and I see the F-16 just flying straight up through the clouds and hear the patriotic music, it means, and you're going to get hit with that flatline in a second. The thing's going. You kids don't remember. TV used to end. Stores used to close. You guys don't remember. Stuff came to finished.
Like, done.
Here's the deal.
No such thing as 24 hours.
If you wanted something on a Sunday, you couldn't get it.
Whatever it was,
you couldn't get it. You should have thought about that Friday
yesterday
because it's closed and it's going through the weekend. And I'll see you on Monday. There was that. No cash. You should have got your cash out the bank on Friday because you can't get it on Saturday or Sunday.
Wow.
And if you don't got any money, then you don't got any money until Monday. And the TV shuts down about 1:32. That's it. Boom. No more.
Every night.
And then it'll lead off with a little show called The Farm Report about 5 a.m. You may want to stay up. If you're high enough, you can stay up for that. But now, there was a time when there was a time to go to bed because your TV told you.
Right.
You hear Charlton Heston talking about touching the face of God and the F-14 going up in the air. You go, okay, now it's time to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can just flip around and go, you probably find something pretty good at 4 a.m.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Your TiVo.
Oh, well, with the TiVo, you never go to sleep. Always something to watch.
Love Mr. TiVo, whoever you are.
Me too. Love that TiVo. Rena?
Yes?
You're 29?
Yes, I am.
What's up, Rena?
What's happening?
Well, not much.
Tell us your problem.
Well, my guy friend that I've been seeing for about 3 years is trying to talk me into having a threesome with this girl that's doing drugs, and she's just not what I'm into.
Rena, you a big gal?
I am.
All right. That's what I figured.
Are you a Mormon?
Jack Mormon. I smoke, I drink.
What kind of Mormon?
Jack Mormon. She is a Mormon, but she's doing drugs and alcohol.
Oh, that's cool.
What's Jack Mormon?
Way to fight it.
It's called Jack Mormon.
Are they called a Jack Mormon?
Alcoholic Mormon. It's basically what
they're called. Wow, I like that.
Like, is that because of Jack Daniels?
What I call Jack? Where's the Jack part come from?
I'm not totally active in the church, but I was baptized a Mormon.
No, but where does the name
does
Jack?
Ever, do we ever get an answer?
Then I'm a Jack Mormon.
Where does the name come from?
I'm a Jack atheist.
What did that refer to when it was first used, the term Jack Mormon?
Now the phone.
I'm not exactly sure. I just.
Okay. Good.
We don't want to confuse her, doctor.
I know. All right.
Probably one of the founding Mormon members was always drunk, and his name was Jack.
All right. Look up Jack Mormon, Engineer Chris. Thank you. Few short days, we'll have an answer to this question.
Just to let you guys know, I love your guys' show every night.
Thanks, baby doll. So you're a big gal.
I called last week and got hung up on.
I'm sorry about that.
We didn't mean to.
And who hung up on you? We didn't hang up on you.
I can't remember the guy's name. I didn't get to talk to you guys. It was a guy that answered.
Yeah. He's a screener. Yes, give him a raise, by the way. It means he's doing his job.
We don't have a guy screener, though.
All right, and we don't have a guy screener. So, okay, so we were saying.
You're not into this girl. Is this a boyfriend?
It's a guy she's been seeing for 3 years.
So some guy was just having sex with
you. Rena, you deserve a little better, baby doll. Right. Now, what's going on with your life? Because here's my plan. I want to whip you into shape, not only physically, but emotionally, and then have you build up your confidence and have you get a guy who appreciates you.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on? How much do you weigh?
I weigh almost 200 pounds.
All right.
Now, we've had callers.
200 pounds right now.
Where do you work?
By the way, we've had callers call in and tell us that they were healthy, but not fat.
210.
220.
I work at a place called Chromalox in North Ogden.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And what do you do there?
I fill the heating elements.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's okay. A sexy job. And what do they make?
What do you mean, what do they make?
What do they manufacture there?
Heating elements for, like, the stoves and popcorn machines. And
okay.
All right. All right. We want to talk about Fastlane, Bill. Mm. This is Fastlane.
You yes, Ken, what do they make in her mind? Who are you referring to?
Right.
If the girl, I had a question that popped into my head. Was it? Is it because the girl's not that cute, or it's not your type,
or would
you
just a drug
not,
addict.
Or you just not into drug addict girls who aren't cute?
Well, she's a drug addict. Plus, she's not. I'm not my type.
All right. So,
is he already
I'm
having
not
sex
into
with
girls?
Is he already having sex with this girl?
No.
All right, so what the hell? Best.
And why are you
well,
hanging
actually,
around?
No, I take that back. He has been.
Beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
By the way, that's not an easy one to screw up. I mean, you know. Is he having, no, he's not. No, he's not. Yes, yes, he is. No,
wait a second.
He's on top
yeah,
of now
that
now.
You mention it, yeah.
Yeah. Brina, what the hell's wrong with you? What happened? Your dad left?
No, my dad and my mom are still together.
Well, what's wrong with your self-esteem that you would be with this guy for 3 years? I mean, you're 29. Do you have a couple kids from a relationship that went bad?
I have one child, a five-year-old.
All right.
With
so lucky.
My ex-husband, which we were married for about almost 4 years.
And where's your ex-husband now?
Was he an abusive a-hole?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Yeah,
like your old dad.
Something's wrong. Something dad.
I get a definite been beaten.
Yeah.
Been beaten,
okay.
Been
let me explain what happens. Here's the syndrome.
Dad
biological dad likes to booze a little, likes to beat a little,
and neglect a lot.
So neglect, a little bit of beating, a little bit of whatever. Kid gets horrible self esteem, hooks up with abuser, pops out a kid with the abusive guy. The abusive guy whacks around a little. Eventually, she gets away with him, but she starts eating. And she has the five-year-old. So now she's carrying around a five-year-old, and she's carrying around an extra 50 pounds, and a guy comes in, and this guy knows because it's like she's desperate.
Right,
she's
he can
wounded.
Sniff it. He can sniff it.
She's got the baggage. She's got the extra weight. She's got the extra kid. Now, he can go in there, and if he's with a hot, skinny chick with no kid, that chick's like, listen, buddy, we've been together for 3 years. I'm 29. I ain't going to be wasting my life with your ass. Right. And we're getting married, or you're going to ask her to get off the pot. But she can't call anything out to this guy because she's got the kid and she's got
beaten.
The weight.
And
she's beaten. She's beaten down. And this guy, he just takes advantage of her. Like, yeah, look, I'll be banging this chick, and then I'll be over to bang you a little bit later.
Why don't we have a real good time and bring them both together? Come
right.
on. What do you think?
And he knows. And so it's always that sort of thing where, like, where are you going? You're like, you know what it is? You're in the middle of a desert. It's 120 degrees, and you got the only shade, and the person's threatening to walk out.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead. Just start walking.
Let's do it.
Yeah, take your half-filled canteen and start walking. You'll be back. They know you're not going anywhere. Now you got to get your own umbrella. You got to get yourself a half track.
She's got to get a mojo.
You
got
to get a dune buggy and a mojo. Mojo would be a good name for an all terrain, like if Explorer came out with the Mojo.
Ooh.
Oh man! Write that down.
I got that new Mojo.
Hey, all this weird
stuff. Did you get the inline six or the supercharged four?
Reminded me that I've got Strictly Sex with Dr. Drew. If you're listening on Wednesday night at midnight, interesting show on what people are fearful of with sex.
Ooh.
Penis phobias.
I think I have one. Rena.
Yes.
Rena. Now here's your plan.
Discovery Health Channel.
You need to reclaim your life, and you need to get your Mojo back. You understand?
Uh-huh.
Here's how you have to do it. First off, dump this guy.
Yeah.
You've wasted 3 years with this a-hole.
He doesn't give a rat's
ass. He doesn't give a damn rat's ass about you. Get rid of him. You're better off alone. First thing you need to do is realize you can be alone.
Yep.
Second thing you need to do is regroup, and then we're going to have you step up. Regrouping means get some nutrition, get some exercise, drop those extra pounds.
Self-care.
Self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself some schooling, step up in your career, work on your career, work on your physique, exercise, good nutrition, good career stuff, year off.
Good time.
Just working on your career, just working on you, getting strong, getting healthy, feeling good, and then you can go out and have a normal relationship, all right?
All right.
Way to go, Rock.
Let's go. You hear me?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Then do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Call us back in a year.
Okay. Don't play, Reno.
He ain't gonna do it. But listen.
What is that?
They're not. Look.
What is that?
I've realized. I've really been studying people over the last couple years.
Yeah.
And I realize They don't change. They,
no,
they
don't
want to change. Here's when they change. And if they were going to change, they would have done it.
They change when they believe they're going to die, if they don't. That's when they change. But what I understand is you come up with some good ideas, and her thing is like,
whatever.
Like, what?
She's sitting there with Krispy Kreme.
Right. Well, like, she obviously was whacked around a little
bit.
But
still, that's inability to be objective, the inability to go, God, that's a great idea. I don't know if I can do it.
Well, she's angry at men.
So she blows off. You think you know?
She's angry at men. I know her dad had to whack her
around.
Of
course.
Rena, tell us what your dad did to you.
My dad didn't do anything to me.
He never hit you?
No.
Who hit you?
My ex-husband did.
No, when you're a kid. We know that.
Before that. Yeah. What got you hooked up with that guy? I mean, what was your dad? Was he an alcoholic?
Yes.
All right. And he never raised his hand to you?
No.
He was never scary when he was drunk?
Oh, yeah.
Where's my bourbon?
What would he do when he was drunk that was scary?
He'd get upset with my mom.
So he'd beat on her?
All right. Listen,
well, he's not the type to beat on people, on his family. Right.
Your dad was an alcoholic and freaked you out with men, though.
Yes.
All right, and he was abusive, so you sought out an abusive guy who upped it to the next level with you.
Yeah, Rena. Do me, please. I know. This is amusing to you that I would give you some advice that you might want to use. Forget about you. How about your goddamn kid? You got a 5-year-old that's on the brink of being effed up.
Yep.
You're exposing this kid to horrible people, just like dear old dad. How about you do it on behalf of your kid? How about you get your ass together on behalf of your child?
Otherwise, he'll be a Jack Mormon.
Yeah, maybe that'll be some motivation for
you. Oh, Adam, that's for you to say. You're just a man.
Oh,
you,
no.
You think you know what's right.
I love my kid. Are you kidding?
I'm a great mom.
I'm a great
mom.
I love my kid. They never see me cook the meth. They never see me turn tricks. They don't see me hammering those welfare checks. They don't see any. No, they don't see it.
He's always asleep.
Yeah, they feel it. Kid knows everything. Doesn't have to see anything.
Once again, we don't, no appreciation that there's things we know cognitively, intellectually, and the things we feel.
Right.
We don't have to actually know precisely what's going on, but we have horrible feelings as a result.
Yeah. I'm telling you, your kid would be better off seeing something freaky every once in a while than just living with the effed up person.
He wouldn't feel like he's responsible for how he's feeling.
Living with all that depression.
Todd, 20.
Yes.
What's happening?
Nothing much. I was just calling to... your guys are thinking about Jack Mormon.
Right. Hey, hold on. Engineer Chris is on that. What do you got, buddy?
Yeah, I've got it.
Oh, you got it? So
that's all I
need.
What you got, Chris?
I bet they're very different. Go ahead.
Hold on, dude. Okay. The origin of the term actually comes from Missouri during the Kirtland period of the church, circa 1834, when the Mormonites were expelled from Jackson County. Many of them fled to Clay County. These citizens of Clay, who were sympathetic and friendly toward the Mormons, were
prejudicial?
Yeah, something like that. Labeled Jack Mormons by the citizens of Jackson County.
I got something way different, Chris.
What does that have to do with using alcohol?
Well, these are Mormons that were excommunicated.
Yeah, they were kicked out.
Yeah.
Kicked out, and so they're called Jack Mormons.
Yeah, what do you got, dude?
Jack Mormons were basically people that were nice to the Mormons. They were nice to the Mormons.
Well, maybe the Jackson County people were nice to the Mormons.
Right, and that's where the Jack came from.
So that's where it came from. And now today it's used as a term for people that are, I guess, are members of the church but just don't want to associate themselves with the church.
Don't follow the precepts.
So it really has nothing.
The teachings or the precepts, they kind of do what they want to. And some people ask them, they're like, well, I'm a Jack Mormon.
All right.
I got something way different.
What do you got?
I got it came from Jack Rabbit because they look like rabbits but they're actually hares.
No, that's not true.
That's what I got. That's cool. I liked it.
I'm going with Anderson on this one.
I like the whole Jack Daniels thing.
I do, too.
It seemed a little more rugged. Like, you know, I don't want to go all by the rules, but me and this Jack D, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with Bill and Chris and Anderson and the caller on this one.
No problem.
All right, thanks, Todd.
All right, you have a good night.
Nice one.
Thanks.
You know, the thing that's dangerous about the Internet is... it makes everyone feel smart. You know what I'm saying?
I deal with that all the time.
Because people get on the internet.
They bring in a bunch of information that I've known since second year medical school.
Right.
What I feel like saying is, what do you think I did for the 8 years that followed the second year of medical school? That just having the information is just the very, 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 very beginning of training and clinical medicine.
Well, even worse, they get some information written by some jack-off in Florida about holistic healing,
I'll
bring that crap
that's
in.
That's right. But I'll even give them the information is good. But the information is yet 1,000 miles away from judgment and wisdom and understanding about clinical circumstances, which the science is just sort of a sketchy understanding of what you're really actually dealing with in the human setting.
Yeah.
So it just gets very frustrating.
You see, Drew, as a carpenter, no matter what someone looks up on the internet, they still can't handle that worm drive high point saw.
Well, that's a similar issue, right? You have experience handling that saw, mm-hmm. but people don't see it that way because I have a body and now I understand it, therefore
now,
I'm an expert.
Now, you know, the thing that's always good about carpentry is the tools scare the crap out of everybody.
Mm, right.
I just dropped my wallet. And I think it was my cell phone. They're expensive and they scare people because their blade's spinning around and they're freaked out.
Yeah.
So that's always good as a carpenter. James?
Yeah, hi.
You're 19?
Yep.
What's happening?
First off, I'd just like to say congratulations on your Comedy Central show. I saw the commercials for that. It looks like it's going to be funny.
Ah, thanks. I haven't seen that yet.
It sounds
funny, but I haven't seen the promos.
Yeah, the promos are kind of weak, but, you know, you're a funny guy. I'm sure the show.
I did promos for that show that aren't airing yet. Those are their promos.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
my promos will start
like
airing
soon. You and it says like, hey, we gave Adam Carolla a show, and it's like, okay.
Right.
I'm sure people who don't know who you are like, okay, who is this guy? But my problem, it's not really
James is full of compliments.
I know.
It's awesome.
I feel better by the minute talking to James.
I actually think James is not one of those negative guys. He just kind of fumbled into
he should do some motivational speaking. Like James be up there like, I'm glad y'all could join me here. Let's give yourselves a hand for being so pathetic that you needed to attend this motivational seminar. Now, obviously, I'm the smart one here because I got your money. But give yourselves a hand. You guys are fantastic. You're looking good tonight, except for this fat guy here. This guy doesn't look so good. Looks like also has male pattern baldness and maybe a little herpes starting
but
to form.
But don't worry.
But let's go now. Let's give yourselves
a
hand now. Yes. It's just when it starts feeling good, he chops you down. But I like his reasoning. He's got bold reasoning. It's like people that don't know who you are could see that thing and say, well, here's this guy.
Somebody gave him a show.
Somebody gave this guy a show.
Oh.
All right. All righty.
All right, James.
All right, James.
My basic thing is I've always sort of been attracted to women with trauma in their past. I mean, my mom is bipolar. She's manic depressive, and I think that probably has a lot to do with
it. It does.
But, you know, I mean, you guys always, I always hear you guys talking about how, like, you know, abusive guys have kind of that uncanny, like, sixth sense about telling, like, somebody.
Oh, no. We have there's two versions. There's the guy that's a victimizer that knows a good victim,
mm-hmm.
and then there's you.
Right. I'm the exact opposite. Like,
that's right. Then there's
women who are victim types, but I'm like I've got like the messiah complex, like I think I can help them all.
Go read my book Going Back Cracked. It's all about that.
Yeah, and then you can watch my show, and then you can go down and see Bill at the Ontario.
And then Discovery Health Channel Wednesday night, midnight.
And then I got a show coming out on TLC, Home Improvement Show, that's really more about improving yourself than it is about the home, so you want to check that out.
No, in all seriousness, though, that's what
Bill's got a DVD that's coming out September 20th called Back to My Roots. You might want to check that out. That could help, too.
Yeah.
But it is about the experience of maintaining boundaries and how you really can help people by not rescuing them.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, do you think?
All right, buddy. I gave enough time.
What about?
Yeah, he gave me a couple backhanded compliments. Trying to keep moving. Yeah, we got to take a break. Jessica.
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah, you got a little something called Germany or Florida for us?
Yeah, I do.
All right, everyone hang tight. Bill Bellamy is in studio tonight. We're going to come back with Bill, and we're going to play a round of a game known as Germany or Florida after this. Slamming you all over the front lawn. Yeah. Bill just talking about what someone did to me on the lawn.
That wasn't cool, man.
Bill Bellamy's
got a new show. You know, I'm happy for you, man. You've been in the game a long time. You like my brother from another mother.
Bill Bellamy in studio tonight. You know what I like about Bill? He's happy.
Dude, always. I've always been happy.
Why not
go
be happy?
There he is, 4 years ago, being happy.
Saying, you know what? I'm doing what I love to do, man, seriously. And, you know, I just dig it. I take my life fun every day. Even though things get stressful sometimes, I just don't let it get me down.
You know, but here's what I think. I wonder. I think people think, and I don't even know if you can answer this, but people think that people that seem to be in a good mood a lot of the time or seem to be positive a lot of time have these dark moments where they go home and the tears of a clown start to come in. True, quiet. I'm doing an interview.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, there's a way to sort of compensate.
Now, that's there's obviously bad news is bad news to everybody, and tragedy is tragedy to everybody, but you just seem generally to have a better energy, to be in a better mood, almost.
I think you know when people are compensating, and Bill ain't compensating.
Right. Mm-hmm. Bill doesn't feel like he's dancing like some chick with an eating disorder.
No. We have a lot of good-looking women that do that. They make us feel happy.
Right.
Yeah. But they don't, and they seem happy. No, there's that. But they seem happy, but they have to make sure that you're happy with them so you feel happy, but you realize, hey, that wasn't necessarily a happy person.
Right.
Right?
Right. I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
I get you.
That was a person that was that was
needed
a person,
you to be happy.
That was a person that didn't want you to find out they were sad, so they acted happy.
Or they were angry or ashamed.
They overcompensate.
Yeah.
Bill seems happy.
Period.
But I am genuinely a happy person. If you met any of my friends, most people would be like, Bill's always positive, always whatever. Because I that's who I am. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I am, you know, going to be encouraging to you. I have
Hang on,
fun,
one second,
but I have bad days.
Sidebar. Yeah. Those chicks would say the same thing, though.
They'd say that's
they
say who
exactly,
I am.
Yeah, they, well, I mean, all my friends would say
I know, but you start talking to them.
No, but I'm serious. You know, I haven't killed anybody in about 2 years.
Oh, see?
No, I believe, you know, we get that feeling from Bill, though.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. And Bill busts himself up, which I like, too. Because you got to live with yourself. So you might as well think you're funny.
Cracks his own ass up.
Yeah. I'm good to me.
Yeah, it's good. It's very good to Bill. Bill's on Bill. The thing is it's something that's not talked about that much in terms of people are talking about being successful. People are talking about financial wealth. Or people talk about education. Or people talk about health, physical health, or even mental health. They don't really talk about just the pure and simple, see if you can have a happy life. See if you can be in a good mood. And I don't even know how much of that you change. I mean, I got a happy dog, but not all dogs are happy. I think my dog just came out happy. My dog's one of these dogs.
Adam came to work tonight deciding that people can't change. Cannot
change. I decided.
Change.
No, here's what I'm saying. When my dog wags its tail, the whole body bends. It's got one of them full body wag. And then there's other dogs that just aren't that way. Now, they're all happy if you give them a bone.
Right.
My dog's just happy when it doesn't have a bone.
Right.
And everyone's happy when they win the lotto, but are they happy just in the middle
just
of the week?
General, in
the
middle of the day. Just walking down the street.
Regular day, regular
Most
week.
Most people not.
Whatever. Most people aren't. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with any kind of financial wealth or any kind of material possession or anything like that.
It's a psychological thing.
No.
And it may even be genetic.
But do you think this, Drew?
Hmm.
Do you think that there are just certain people like Bill who are quite a bit happier than the general populace, and there's certain people that are quite a bit less happy than the general populace?
No doubt.
And it's not all connected to alcohol or drugs or abuse or anything.
I think the lion's share of that is genetic.
It's just
your code.
Just the way
the
dog would be.
Yeah, there's some dogs that just seem to mope around, and other dogs are just like flopping around and seem happy all the time. Yeah. And
hyper.
Same owner, same situation, same diet, same everything. Just seem to be in a better mood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
It can happen.
Profound.
So I'm okay.
So you're lucky, Bill.
I think I got lucky, man. The way they programmed me, I'm good.
So basically,
did you get programmed, though?
Yeah, they threw me in the matrix happy.
But this is back to that genetic hand thing. Now, the question then becomes, because we've been big on not being able to change your physical somatic genetic hand, can you change your psychological genetic hand?
Whoa. I don't know that you can change your disposition.
Right.
I believe that you can do away with things like drugs, alcohol, bad relationships, bad dead-end jobs, things like that that make you less happy. But I don't know if you're ever going to be Bill Bellamy if you're just not. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
If you're Dave Attell, I don't think you're ever going to be Bill Bellamy, even if you quit the chain smoking.
Even
if
he became a crazy mega movie star and had everything, I think he'd still be Dave Attell.
Right.
Yeah. He was.
I didn't know this was a different angle. Intervention.
Yeah, that's David Town, by the way.
We tried to intervene, but didn't work.
Yeah. You're just not going to beat Bill Bellamy.
No.
All right. Jessica?
Yo.
23?
Yeah.
You ready to play a little Germany or Florida?
Are you ready to play?
Yeah, here's how the game goes, Bill.
All right.
We hear the effed up story, and then we guess. Did it come out of Germany or Florida?
Okay.
Because all effed up stories are either from Germany
or Florida.
See? He's having a good time already.
Oh, my God. What part of Florida?
Or Florida.
David
it's
Allen Greer.
Florida.
David Allen Greer, not a happy guy. Tormented.
Tormented.
Not
unhappy,
genius.
But tormented.
All right, but let me say this, too. How about this?
Okay.
This is going to sound heavy.
Go to hell!
And I don't mean it any disrespect to Bill Bellamy.
Or Dag.
David Allen Greer, probably smarter than the three of us put together.
Yeah.
But tortured.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
Tortured genius.
Most are.
We're, Bill, probably not as smart as David Allen Greer. Mm-hmm. David Allen Greer's a genius. Mm-hmm. Musically, comedically, the guy's
a
genius.
He's got a lot going on.
But I think he pays the price.
Well,
I think he's turned his brain on himself. You know, your brain is like a weapon. It's like a gun you shoot yourself with.
My dogs, the shepherds, bright as hell. Anxious.
My dog, dumb as a mop handle.
Happy all the time.
Happy as hell.
Go.
Wow. Correlation I'm just there. Saying.
Just saying.
There
man.
Ain't no correlation between smart and happy, and I think it goes the other direction. I don't know if David Allen Greer could ever truly be happy because his brain's working too fast all the time, and he knows he should be miserable.
I took that flight with him back from Newark, and he was trying to sleep and was like sitting up in his sleep and talking and moving, doing soliloquies and stuff. It was hysterical.
I think what you want for your kids is you want them to be smart enough to make a buck. You want them smart enough to, you know, not
and dumb enough to be happy.
But dumb enough to be happy. Smart enough to make a buck. Dumb enough to enjoy the money.
Yeah,
I like that. That's what you're looking for.
That's the one.
Dave, smart enough. Too smart. Smart enough for the buck.
Can't get happy.
Can't get happy.
Can't get a teaspoon of happy.
Jessica.
Hey.
All right, so Germany or Florida. Go ahead.
Okay. A 76-year-old woman was arrested for selling crack cocaine by putting the drugs in her purse and lowering them by rope from her second-story window. Police said they found a gun and ammunition in her house, as well as a purse attached to a rope next to her bed. Germany or Florida?
That all goes Florida.
Yeah,
that really goes Florida.
You hear crack, you hear guns,
elderly.
Yeah, you hear all that.
I'm hearing Miami.
The rope, Miami lowering the rope down, that all sounds like...
Bill, you just go states. You don't have to go cities.
Yeah, that's Miami.
Oh, you're going Miami.
This isn't northern Florida. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not northern Florida.
All right, we're going Florida on this
South
one.
South Florida.
You're absolutely right. Jacksonville, Florida.
Where's Jacksonville?
it's on the west. It's on the west coast of Florida, I think.
Miami, is it?
Middle. No, it's on
but it's South Florida, though.
Yeah. It is. All right. You know your Florida.
I know my Florida, man.
Thanks. Well, that's how the game is played.
Only one?
Well.
Oh, man. I was getting ramped up.
It's an exciting game, isn't
it? Yeah,
it
got me woke.
We get to, we'll hear some other ones. Someone else call in with a Germany or Florida. Let's talk to Darren, who's 20. Darren?
Hey, Adam.
Corolla. But listen,
you don't exclaim the name.
You got to do it sing-songy.
Hey, Adam!
Yeah, you don't do it like that.
Right.
You don't want me to come down and play ball. You're in a swimming pool. Your eyes are closed. You're flapping around. Adam!
Corolla!
Adam!
Corolla!
Fish out of water!
See?
You see how it goes, Darren?
Yeah, I do now.
Okay, buddy, what's up?
Well,
he's calling from Alaska. So
they don't have pools.
Well, they have pools. They play. They're called hockey rinks.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Darren.
I'm in Alaska, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just finding out how Adam Carolla picks up the ladies because up here in Alaska, I tell you, you got to be talented.
Mm. Yeah.
Is it too cold?
Yeah, Adam Carolla's married, but he used to do it by being on MTV like Bill.
Yeah.
High five. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no aphrodisiac like MTV.
Oh, it's got to be sexy.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Darren.
Huh?
Okay, hold on. I don't think Darren has a question, does he?
No, J.O.
He was confused by the Adam Carolla thing that he brought up.
You know what I was just thinking? You could use this song. It goes, Adam Carolla, live down the road. Do-do-do. You remember that song?
No.
He lost his baby 2 months ago. It's called Shay Shay LaFon, but never mind.
What year are we talking about?
I don't know. This is 80s. You could flip it and make it your song. Because it was a song written about Tommy Mottola.
Oh, it was? Oh, yeah, I know that
Remember
song.
That song?
Yeah.
You got to flip it and put your own words on it and then Corolla.
Was Tommy Mottola married to Mariah Carey?
Yes.
Tommy Mottola, super record
duper rich super duper executive.
I'll tell you, record execs are sort of the rich version of restaurant managers.
Mm-hmm. At one time, they had their time too.
You know how restaurant managers are all sleazeballs that just want to nail hostesses, and that's part of the gig. That's part of the reason they get into it. You're a 41-year-old guy. You manage a restaurant. And
you
just
have
bang,
a hot hostess.
You bang every 19-year-old college hostess that comes in there, and they flip over every 6 weeks. Record guys, these guys are like in their 50s and just nailing world-class 20-year-old ass all year long. Like, they're quietly doing it. You know what I mean? And what else? You see, now the celebrities that do it are getting into tabloids, they're getting into trouble, they're getting out there, and they're called, you know, the record guys. And it's almost, this is Tommy Mottola did this with Mariah Carey, and then there's what's her name? What, the French guy, and what's his wife?
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion.
Yeah.
And
her husband's like 109.
You always hear these stories too, where it's like, well, I was 55 and she was 12, but we didn't do anything physically until she was 18. Like, you guys worked that out.
I was very patient.
It's important to get on the same page. Yeah, you hung around
for
6 years.
How evolved of you.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's right. You're on your second bypass surgery when you popped her cherry. Is it just after the second bypass or you're completely bald? Yeah. Awesome. But here's my point. They don't get the scumbag label.
Nah.
They fly under or maybe they're so far over the radar no one sees them. But whatever,
smart business.
Whatever it is, there's a bunch of 50, and these guys are all the same guy. They're like bald and fat, and they got a big schnoz on them. They're not even, you know, at least the Hollywood actor is, you know, the guy's 48, but he's good looking.
Right, still in shape.
Yeah, these guys are like roly-poly and fat, and there's something about pulling the strings in the music industry, and they just... That's nonstop a tale. And no one says anything. And then it just becomes, oh, yeah, that guy, he's with a new 20-year-old every...
Oh, yeah.
Quincy.
She's got an album
Quincy
coming out.
Jones. Oh, pimp, forget about
pimp,
it.
Pimp of the...
Forget
of the
about it.
Century.
Oh, I'd like to smell that guy's penis. I would like to smell Quincy's penis.
Oh, yeah, he's knocked down some really nice stuff, too.
One hot blonde after the next, and it just keeps going. And then...
He's 70-something.
He's 90 years old. He's on a hot 19-year-old right now. Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. And here's what you want to establish in your life. You just establish that's what you do. See, here's what I'm saying. Like Snoop Dogg, he smokes pot wherever he wants to smoke pot. You see, when he does Jimmy Kimmel Live... He's smoking a doobie in the green room. They come walking, oh, hey, would you like an ashtray? If I was smoking a joint, I'd be tackled and dragged out of the place and thrown out in the alley. You know what I mean? Like, you established that this is what you do.
This is how I get down.
This is what I do, and that's it. Like, hey, you're Quincy Jones? You bang hot blondes that are 40 years younger. Hey, that's what I do. Hey, whoa, I'm Quincy Jones. Leave me alone.
Come on, baby. Close the door.
Smart. I'm Tommy Mottola. This is what I do.
That's what people do, and it's bad times.
What do you mean bad times? It's diabolical. It's
diabolical.
Genius.
It's not good for the
Snoop
people they do it to.
Snoop gets to smoke his weed. I got to go.
It's not good for them in the long run.
If I want to smoke weed, I got to go into my basement and climb into a steamer trunk and light up a joint. Snoop, he's on commercial flights with a bong.
Oh, yeah, and it's
he
fine.
Just smokes pot where what people are actually, when they see Snoop. Like
they
Snoop,
give him weed.
Snoop could be taking a tour of the White House, and they'd be like, Mr. Dog, why aren't you smoking marijuana? He's like, well, I just blew a blunt. I'm just tired. Hey, here's another one. Then you got to light it up. This part of your...
GW got this one for you.
That's your thing, yeah. It's like the Marlboro Man not having a butt. Come on, let's go. I'm just saying, Drew... If you're into something,
no, you're right.
Instead of hiding it.
That's how they
it,
get away with that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Instead of hiding just, it and getting busted, establish that's what you do.
That's how you roll.
Remember Slash from Guns N' Roses?
Yep.
There was no place that guy couldn't smoke.
Yep.
There was no smoking everywhere except for where Slash was. Slash would light up a cigarette, Slash, operating room, airplane.
We were doing an interview with him once, and he dropped a lit cigarette into his boot. Remember
down
that?
Down his boot.
He just, oh, man.
It was comical, which is Slash is, you know, he's doing our TV show, and of course he's smoking because no one else could. If I lit up a cigarette in my dressing room, I'd be fired. But Slash could just go out there and smoke. He's Slash. He smokes. That's what he does. He's Snoop. He's Quincy. He just do what he does. He lights up the cigarette. I asked to see his tat that's on his back. I think he starts pulling his shirt up over his head. While he's pulling his shirt up over his head to show me his tat, he knocks the cigarette out. The cigarette falls down the motorcycle boots, which are unbuckled and just sort of flared at the top. They fall into the boot.
And he just proceeds to keep showing me his tat.
Well, he looks down and says, "Oh, that." You know,
no,
oh,
I don't.
Damn.
I don't think he even really.
Really?
Really computed. Now,
I remember you bring it to his attention.
I brought it to his attention. Yeah. Now he's going, look at that. It's a snake, and it says slash a snake pit. And I'm like, when he seems like, oh, that's awesome. But meanwhile, I'm thinking, your foot's on fire. Your foot's on fire. Right. And he keeps
your
talking about
smoking.
It. I'm like, slash your boot, and the smoke's coming out
yeah,
of the
yeah,
boot.
Yeah, there
and,
was.
I'm
like,
just
oh,
saying,
that's a drag.
If
yeah.
you're into something, whether it's smoking or smoking weed or banging young chicks or doing whatever you do, instead of sneaking around with it and eventually getting popped, put it out there. That's what you do.
We got another Germany or Florida.
Ooh.
But after.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with Bill Bellamy, whose thing is just being happy as far as I know.
I'm just happy, dude.
Bill is just happy to be here. He's going to be happy to be at the Ontario Improv. See, that's good radio, Drew. Thursday through Sunday. This Thursday through Sunday, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Bill's favorite new game. A little something called
Germany or Florida.
Florida. Yeah, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Happy Bill Bellamy.
We're in the house, y'all. We riding out. We got a lot of stuff done, though. We helped
we
a few people. My favorite caller was the dominatrix.
Yeah.
We opened with strong.
I mean, we opened up.
We got out of the gate strong.
Yeah.
That was like how Drew used to play ball. Good first step.
Oh, man.
That's what that dominatrix was. First five steps.
Got five steps.
Gotta love her.
Then everyone passed
him
by.
Can you do dominatrix light where it doesn't get too rough? Just a little.
I'm sure I'm sure our lovely caller would take anything, do anything for money. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's light, heavy, whatever.
I just wouldn't know. I mean, I've never done anything like that, but I wouldn't even know where to start. Like, you know, what's the first two, three things just getting you into kindergarten to dominatrix?
Well, I think everyone's got a little bit of that. Yeah, you love it, baby. You know what I mean? Doesn't everyone got a little bit of that rough trade in them?
Yeah, yeah.
And most women like a little slap on the behind, too. A little slap on the behind. Like Deacon Jones used to say. You just go upside a man or a woman's head.
Go upside a woman's head.
Eric, 25. Let's go.
All right. Germany or Florida?
Yeah, hey. Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's happening? Yeah, what's up, Doug?
That show, Fastlane, man, that was a really good show. I don't know why they canceled it either.
Thank you, dog. Fox is on crack.
I'll tell you why they canceled it, because it was ahead of its time.
That's it. You know
that's
what
good
it is?
Answer.
It's the audience wasn't smart enough to appreciate that show.
That's right.
Another good one.
Yeah, that's good, too.
This guy's hot. He's two for two.
Eric, you've called before, yes?
Yes, sir. You have a very good memory.
Oh, this is the guy that does the imitation, the Adam imitation.
Oh, yeah.
He works in a post office.
Yeah.
No, print shop.
Print shop.
I see. True. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Why don't you do a little? Why don't you read the Germany or Florida as me?
But you know what? We did that last time and
didn't work.
Didn't work.
I'm saying things that you
he learned
don't make any sense.
You have to say Adam isms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just me making a ridiculous voice and I'm making an ass of myself.
All right. Well, why don't you do a couple Adam isms then before you read the Germany or Florida?
I don't have my list in front of me. How about after the Germany or Florida, I'll go grab my list.
All right. How about next time you call the show, you have the goddamn list.
No, because last time we abused you. I'm surprised you're asking him to do this. you knocked him down last time. Told him never to do that.
Adam, you know what you said to me last time? You said, you know, sometimes you have a friend who says she has a friend that looks like Cindy Crawford, but when you meet her, she's actually kind of fat, but she has a mole.
Right.
You gave me all kinds of crap.
Right.
He was never going to do Adam again.
You were bad
me,
Adam, huh?
He was just never going to do it again.
All right. Well, I'm going to trust the Adam that spoke some months ago and just go with the Germany or Florida then. All right, buddy. Okay. Go ahead.
And is this stuff true about you leaving the show?
It's getting close.
Like, what kind of time frame are we talking about?
Well, if I'm going to replace Stern, and I'm not sure I'm going to replace Stern yet, but there are definitely those rumblings, it would probably be around the first of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I'd hate to see you go, man. I've been listening for over 5 years, and you've been getting me through a lot of late nights, you and Drew both.
I'd kind of hate to see me go, too, but, you know, this is one of those once-in-a-lifetime types of opportunities that you can't let go by.
Right. Yeah. Right on. Well, I'll get to the Germany or Florida for Bill here.
All right. Hook me up, dog.
All right, dog.
Germany or Florida? Germany or Florida?
I like the scat one
Germany
better.
Germany or Florida?
Bet
Allen. Yeah, this is David Allen. Great, too. Da, da, da. This is the jazz version.
Is it Germany or Florida? Hey! Germany.
So tortured.
I like the ending of this Florida. Best.
Yeah.
Let's find out. Dum, dum, ba-dum, dum, dum, ba-dum, dum, dum, right out.
Big ending. Big crescendo. Yep, he's home crying right now into his Chardonnay.
What's
go ahead, Eric.
What's getting him to replace you with in the show here?
I don't know.
No.
It's a good question.
Okay, Jimmy
Ford.
Okay.
Drew would stab him with a pen. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, a 34-year-old man was admitted to a hospital after trying to commit suicide by swallowing a can full of expanding foam.
Ooh.
Surgeons had to operate to remove the 8-inch block of foam from the man's stomach. He later died as a result of internal bleeding. Germany or Florida?
I heard of this one. It was a while ago.
I heard of it, too.
Expansion foam.
Yeah, it's that polypropylene expanding stuff that they use in construction.
We used
a lot of that stuff. That, and by the way, that is the baddest ass stuff ever known to man. You put a dollop on it. Put a dollop on the table, that stuff the size of it just would put for shaving cream, it'll expand the size of a beach ball.
Wow.
And if the stuff makes contact with your skin, you just pick it off for the next 3 weeks. And if it gets on your clothes,
forget it.
You just have to cut that part out. You can't actually, it takes the fabric with it.
Wow.
Damn. It's crazy badass stuff.
So it's like expandable glue or something?
Yeah, I couldn't think. It's polystyrene that expands or polypropylene or something, and it ends up getting hard.
All right, let's go German. I'll go Florida.
I'm going Germany.
Okay.
I'm going Florida, too. Okay. Eric?
Yes. It is Frankfurt, Germany.
Who got that?
Who you?
Bill.
Bill Bellamy.
Bill Bellamy. Happy Bill Bellamy.
BB in the house.
HBB.
Dude, I know my places,
no,
dog.
You're right.
I mean, nobody in Florida's doing that.
No, they
it's
just
too hot.
Too creative.
No. Here's the thing. Everyone in Florida's got a gun. So if you want to kill yourself, you just put a gun in your mouth.
Yeah.
You want expanding polystyrene foam in your mouth.
I mean, who thought of that?
All right. And that's smart, too. It's a German. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. That's the show. Bill Bellamy, everyone. Ontario.
Oh, man. We had such a good time.
We did have a good time.
Thursday night through Sunday night.
Check out my website, too, for all the love line. BillBellamy.com. Just drop by. Leave a note if you want. Say what's up.
Bill will reply personally and promptly, I guarantee.
Come to your house.
311 is going to be in here tomorrow night. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
You know, I haven't killed anybody in about 2 years.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.